Lord, I know that you have something special for us, Father. I just felt just obstacle after obstacle all day today. And Lord, you have helped jump over those obstacles, Lord. And here we are. And so, Lord, we ask for your presence. Holy Spirit, would you minister to us? Would you open our eyes and our hearts to the things, Lord, that you want us to hear, the things that you want us to apply to our lives, the things that you want us to walk in. You are our God, and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right, so we're going to kick off Ephesians tonight. And I think that the book was really good at telling us who wrote the book and kind of like breaking down a little bit of the background about Paul, and he visited Ephesus a couple times in the book of Acts. And so he's writing this from house arrest. He was arrested. And so he's writing this to his friends who he loves and who he has built relationship with, and I was just kind of thinking about the early church where just to follow Christ was this new beginning, this new movement, this new way, a new kingdom that is totally unlike anything anybody has ever heard. And so the relationships that are built are deep. And so he's writing this book to these fellow believers. And really, Ephesians is this story of a rags-to-riches story, this Cinderella story, kind of a fairy tale that is actually being lived out by you and by me. And I know for me, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And when I grew up in a Christian home, and I just thought following Christ was a normal thing, like it was just, this is what we do. And I had a lot of encouragement, a lot of love, and a lot of investment by my parents, and even bigger than that, in our church community. And so I just thought that that's kind of how everyone lived. And until finally, I don't even remember, I walked away from the Lord, and I plummeted into a life of just sin. And complete compromise, and for about 4 years of just insanity and chaos and a calloused heart and just yucky stuff. And one day, literally, I was sitting on a gutter, and I thought, there has to be more to life than this. Like, I remember a time when I, you know, was a daughter of the King. Like, what am I doing? And I just got so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. And so then I started diving into Ephesians, and it was like the first book of the Bible that I started really studying through, besides Psalm 139, that I just was, the light bulb turned on. And I realized who I was in Christ. And all that I had in it from the get-go, it changed the way I viewed myself, viewed my God, and viewed everybody else. It changed the way I went about doing things. And there is, when we know who we are and what we've got, there's a confidence level that we have in Christ, not in me, in my capabilities and in my lack thereof talents, but in my God and who I am in him and what he's given me. And so it really has shaped the very core and my foundation of who I am and how I move about. And so I've taught this book of the Bible a few times, and this time around, you know, you just wonder, okay, Lord, what's new? Because the Lord always has something new for us. And so he had me just write down everything that I read this section of scripture, and I just wrote down everything that I that was on my heart. And then I looked at my notes from years ago, and they were completely different. But I was like, "Ooh, that's good stuff." But it's not what God had on my heart now. And so what he placed on my heart was this story. We went to family camp a few years ago to Forest Home, and there was a speaker there who told this story. And I don't exactly know if I've got all the details correct, but it's a familiar story to you. I know this isn't an isolated story. It happens all across America. But it is about this little boy who was born into a dysfunctional family, in fact, a very abusive family. And he experienced no love, no affection. There were no words of affirmation. There was, in fact, just abuse and violence. And this boy, whenever he did anything wrong, like any little boy would do, or if the parents just were sick of him, they would lock him up in a closet for days and did not feed him. And so this little boy was just neglected, and he was starving and afraid and alone. And the authorities caught wind of it and came in and took him out of the home, and he became a custody of the state. And so he was in the foster system, and so there was this family in a local church that chose in their hearts to get involved with foster care. And so they decided, and when we choose something, we have to decide. And when we decide something, we actually step out and do something about it. And so they stepped out and they chose to get involved. And they got this little boy into their home and began to love on him and began to provide for him and to encourage him and love him and, you know, offer him to go to school and to, you know, have play dates. And he got some toys, and, you know, he's just experiencing a family for the first time. And this family, the Lord moved on their hearts to take it a next step further, and that was to adopt him. And so they went ahead and they adopted this little boy. And this little boy, you know, was bearing their name now. And everything that mom and dad had was now his. He began to have hopes and dreams of high school, of college. That was never even on his scope. He was, you know, long-term relationship. He was even thinking like that. Just, he was experiencing relationship and love for the first time, and his life completely changed. And that is obviously for the better, but the mom and dad started noticing him putting on weight and putting on weight. And putting on weight, and they said, I don't know, you know, this is what I put, feed him for breakfast, this is what I put in his lunches, and this is what we eat for dinner. Like, I don't know where the food's coming from. And so they searched his room, and sure enough, they found just tons of food just being stored and hoarded and hidden, and he was eating and eating and eating. And here, this little boy was still had such deep-seated fear, and he was like, living on just survival mode. And no matter how many times you tell this little boy, I love you, I love you, I love you, he doesn't know what that even means. And he still has this fear that one day these two are going to put me in that closet without any food and I'm going to starve. And so would it be right for us to be mad at the kid for hoarding the food? No. It's not his fault. This is what he knows. This is who he is. And it took a long time for this little boy to learn. He had to be told. He had to be shown. He had to be reminded. He had to be, you know, over and over to then learn it and then live it. It's like it's two different things. And so we have to be redirected. We have to be reminded. And I know a lot of you know much of what is in Ephesians and what we have. So this study is for us to be reminded, to be redirected, and to be reassured this is what we've got in this new environment of family, this new environment of God's family. We need to learn who we are and what we have. And we are like this little boy. And we have this nature about us that we might not hoard the food and eat it in fear of, you know, being starved. But we have this nature about us that is fueled by our fleshly desires. We have this sin nature that we have. And unfortunately, we're going to have it until we see Christ face to face. So, but we also have this we're spiritual beings, and we have been made alive, you know, through Christ. And so, and it just reminded me, at like this little boy, that this, that we have been handpicked. It said in our, you know, we were doing all that cross-referencing. Did that just take a little while? It's okay. I know now what it is to be chosen, you know? Okay. Adopted. Okay. So, but it's for reasons why we look it up, because Scripture doesn't lie, right? Scripture doesn't lie. And so we need to make sure we know. And it's never going to be a waste of time looking up all those verses. It will never be a waste of time. And so just like this little boy was chosen, we were chosen. And like, God, I could just see him, you know, just like my kids at 7-Eleven, and they've got a dollar, and they're like looking like eyes glazed over, like, what do I get? It's like, I want this, and I want that, and finally, I want this one, you know, and they are just, they finally pick one, hand-selected, and each one of you were hand-chosen by God, by the God, by Creator of heaven and earth. We were hand-picked. And then not only that, we weren't handpicked like, okay, you get to be with me. You get to live in my house, you know, and I'll pay for your schooling and I'll pay for your clothes. That's not all we got. We then were adopted into his family, and we now bear his name. We now are co-heirs to the throne. We actually are, like, we look at Jesus and we think that he's got it all. He's got all the power, he's got all the blessing, he's got everything. And yet, sometimes I distance myself from all that he has, and that's him, and I don't have that. But we have every spiritual blessing. Everything that Jesus has, we've got. We have access to. It is ours. We are co-heirs to the throne. Now, Philippians 2:12 says that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we're working it out. Like, we were saved the day we said yes to Jesus. We were saved. Done deal. But according to this verse, we're working it out. We are working it out. I went to the gym not too long ago, and one gal said, you know, I don't want to go to that gym or that church over there because, you know, it's full of hypocrites. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, don't come to our church because we are all totally unperfect Christians too. Like, you will see us sin and call us Christians too at the same time. And we are working it out. We're working it out. How many of you are married? Okay, how many of you, when you said I do, you knew exactly how to be a wife? I'm still figuring it out. And every time I think I've got it, I don't, you know? And it's the same thing with children. Although I believe the moment of conception, you're a mom because you're taking care of a baby. But then you go to a hospital. I guess now maybe more people do home births or whatever. But you have the baby, and they're like, okay, there you go. Take him home. And you're like, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do with this child? But I am a mother, but I'm still figuring it out. I'm still figuring it out. And no one can take that title from me. I'm a mom. I am a wife, and I am a daughter of the King. But Satan wants us to live in a bankrupt state. He wants us to live there. He wants us to be stuck there in this bankrupted state. He wants us to be empty and powerless, alone, orphaned, just like that little boy, with no one and nothing, living in poverty, with no hope, no dreams, no accomplishments, nothing that comes remotely close to reflecting our Maker. That's where he wants us to stay, because he knows that if we live the way we ought to, we will be reflecting our God, and people are going to be like, what's different about you? I like that. You know, and they see Christ in us. And so he wants us to just live totally defeated, totally not walking with that power that comes from being with the Lord. We have every spiritual blessing. And so with all of those resources, with every spiritual blessing, okay, and all I think all of those spiritual blessing that comes in, we obtain those things in different ways through prayer, through reading, through fellowship, through stepping out in faith where you're like, I'm just going to go for it. And he's there. And you're like, oh. And then it's easier to step out again and step out again. So all these spiritual blessings, we can get them in different ways. But either way, they're all ours. It says they're all ours. And we can be victorious spiritually in any circumstance. In any circumstance. Now, we might completely fail in our circumstance, but spiritually, we can be victorious. In fact, our circumstance may lead us to death, but we can still be victorious spiritually in death. And so, we were made in God's image. When they got together, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they got together and they said, let us make man in our image. We are made in their image. And so that means that we are image bearers, okay? Just like I bear my mom and dad's image. I have a, like from here up, I kind of look like my mother, and from here down, kind of look like my dad. And just, you know, different mannerisms. Like I bear their image. But as a Christ follower, when I said I do to him, I am now bearing his image. I bear his image, and wherever I go, people should see him. And we show God's face or a facet of God to the world. And I know that we are so uniquely made. Every single one of us is so different. And you may like to do this and thrive doing that, and you might take pleasure doing this, but not that. And so, but if we are all faithful to walk and do what God wants us to do, being filled with this, with every spiritual blessing, with all of what he has for us, we can be dynamic. We can have this extraordinary life for the Lord. And the world can get a good look, kind of a good snapshot. If we all did that, they can really get a good look at who our dad is, who our dad is. And I think that's his will for us. Bottom line, it's to show the world who he is. It's to bring them to him. According to 2 Peter 3:9, it says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All of them. And I know in our homework, we went over Colossians 1, 21 through 23, but I read it in the message as well, and it's up on the screen. It says, you yourselves are a case study of what he does. I love that. You're a case study. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got, but now by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives back together whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, the gospel, carefully not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets this same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. And we all can put our names where Paul's name is. We are all a messenger of this message to everybody. And we do it with our lives. We do it by Christ living in me dynamically and walking in these spiritual gifts. And the world will know, and the world will see this light that we have. And so all of what Christ has, we have. all of it. And we got it immediately the moment we said yes to Jesus. There's no like reading the Bible three times first, and then you will get some spiritual blessings. And then if you didn't pray today, you know, you're going to miss out on 1, 2, and 3. You might get 4. The moment we said yes, immediately we have every spiritual blessing. We're going to get into all of, there's so much more we have as Christians, unity and this and that. It's just walking in it. It's just going for it. And nothing can take these things away from us. Nothing and nobody can take these things away from us. Now, we are the only ones that can put a damper on that, right? I can forget. I could, you know, I can walk away from the Lord. I could, you know, so it's just so important that we remind one another who we are and what we have. And these things are sealed by God himself. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. And I'm going to leave you with this story about the sealer. When Philip and I first got married, and some of you may have heard this one, we lived in an apartment over by the bay, and he went, oh, we had a little tiny closet, and he went to go put in shelving in the closet. And so he went in there, and he had a quarter-inch drill bit, which is fairly big, and he threw the wall, and he pulled it out, and the drill bit was gone. And he, like, was trying to look in the hole, and he couldn't see through the hole, and he was looking, and it was just gone. And so he looked, and he found another drill bit, and he went, and the whole thing, it started smoking from inside the wall, and he looked closely, and the drill bit was actually melted. The metal was melted off. And so he called the landlord, and he's like, I think I need some help. He sent over a handy guy, and a handier guy. So this weekend he said I talk too much for service. So yeah. So a handy guy came over, and he looked at he cut out the wall inside the closet to kind of see what was happening back there. And what happened was, there was a bundle, a big fat bundle of all of the power lines for the whole entire apartment building was bundled up going through our closet. And sure enough, there was a hole, and it was like smoky, and just like, praise the Lord that he didn't die on the spot or burn the place down. And so so Philip said, he was the guy, the handyman was going, this is what happened, and yeah, and he went, uh-huh, 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 okay. And so what he did was he just put electrical tape around it and put a smoke detector in our closet, and that was it. And that was done. But it just made me think that normally, if the job were to have been done right in the first place, all those electrical wires should have been encased in conduit, right? And conduit is this like hard something that is like a case that you can't penetrate it, and everything that's going on is going on inside, but no matter what, nothing can get in there. And that is what the Holy Spirit is to us. Everything that we get from the Lord comes freely to us, and the Holy Spirit seals the deal all the way to God's throne room, all the way to our hearts, and nothing can take it away from us, not even a quarter inch drill bit or Philip. So so let me go ahead and pray for you.